is Bad Boys and Beyond with your hosts, Mike Payton and Keith Black Trudeau.
That's it, baby, I'm foul.
Hey, I'll put it in the front page, back page, middle page, wherever headliners, column one or two, we will win game two. Good back it off, we will win game two.
The game's over and the Pistons have won the world championship.
Stop that. They don't wanna see us who was rapping. Rappers be lying about trapping. I did it all. I had that basement cracking. Ask anybody, man, that side door was slapping. And baby bro helped made it happen. I ain't pulled up at no corners or waiters to stop. Just hit me up. I have my niggas come and get it for low.
Welcome back to Bad Boys and Beyond. We are your hosts, Mike Payton and Keith Black Trudeau. Today we are going to do something fun, something different, something we've never done before. Usually we have a former player on or we have a beat writer or somebody in the world of sports writing, basketball, what have you. Today, we have a listener on, and we're super excited to have him. Chubbs, welcome to the show, man. This is different. Tell us about yourself. Who are you,
Chubbs? Thanks. Appreciate it. Well, as on Twitter, everybody call me Chubbs. I actually got introduced to you guys by a friend of mine, Doc Joe Brown. He did one of the redrafts. I've actually been a part of his show as well, his podcast. I'm a big Pistons fan, as you can see. Got my teal on today with Bad Boys.
Yeah.
So I love, like I said, I'm from Detroit. Love the Pistons, love the Lions as well. My favorite teams, go blue. And I'm glad to be here. I'm glad you guys had me. I love redrafts. When I play 2K, I start over from scratch and I do redraft. That's how I do my I don't play regular teams with regular teams at all. I love draft and trade. It's my favorite thing to do. So I'm just glad you guys gave me an opportunity to do this. Looking for the fun.
Yeah. You know what?
We're happy to have Pistons Twitter represented here.
Yeah, absolutely. what I love to do on 2K is I'll take a random team. It's never the Pistons. I'll take a random team and I'll just knock everybody off that team. I'll have a full-on fire sale. Trade everybody. Get all the assets I can get. And, like, I build them up from the ground up. That's my favorite thing to do.
That's kind of what I do.
Like a general manager.
Or I try to find that's exactly what I do. I find a team who haven't won in a minute. Like, lately, I was doing Portland. I was trying to find players to come with Dame. And I do the draft class and everything. So, it was fun.
Yeah. Are you on 2K, Keith? Are you playing that at all?
I've played at least a little bit of 2K pretty much every year since the original. I mean, so a lot Dreamcast of my fondest memories are of the original on the Dreamcast. I actually like this year's version a little bit more than the past like three or four. I'm playing this one a little bit more than the other ones. I like it a little bit more.
Yeah, I used to be all about NBA Live, and then that 2K game out with Jordan on the cover and Jordan featured in the game, and it's been blown everything away ever since. I mean, it's the best.
The team up was a game changer.
I just wish that 2K would take over the NFL as well, so we didn't get just essentially the same video game every year with we do with Madden.
Just to let our listeners in on a little secret, I make the exact same iPlayer every single year, and I play Rec and Pro-Am, and that's pretty much all I do. It's 6'7", 220-pound glass cleaner. It is the only one of its type I ever see, a 6'7" power forward glass cleaner, because no one would ever make that unless you're me, and you like to live out your Dennis Rodman archetype. Friday night.
I create a player, and when I do the redraft and all that stuff, I just try to draft the player that I created, try to get him number one. Like, I usually give him my son's name or something, and I make him like a 6'9" point guard, shoot the lights out, and defend. So I get where you're coming from with that one.
I'm not going to lie. I've been creating myself on NBA games since like 1992, and I don't plan to stop.
It's fun.
I'm a 37-year-old rookie of the year every year, basically. So, all right, let's get into some topics today. Before we get to the draft, obviously, we need to talk about the Pistons. They started their season last night and came just a shade away from beating the Eastern Conference champions. Cade had an amazing game, 30 points, nine rebounds. The team came together for 13 block shots. I mean, Keith, give us your thoughts, and then we'll kind of go around the room.
I mean, what else can you say? They somehow turned the ball over 9 times in the first quarter. That is a game for a good team. They did it in the first quarter, and they still had the lead because that's how well they were playing when they did not turn the ball over. Asar Thompson blocked 3 shots in his first 3 minutes, 2 of them on Jimmy Butler. They were absolute just smash jobs. It's not like he got a fingertip. He was swatting shots. He became only the 3rd rookie in NBA history since blocks were a thing in the mid-70s to block 5 shots on opening night. Look, the end of the story is the Pistons eventually lost because they couldn't overcome all of the mistakes they made in the first half, all those turnovers. But given that they were down 19 in the fourth quarter and came back and really should have won the game, they got it to 1, and they just failed to score in their last 3 possessions. Miami didn't score in the last 3 or 4 minutes. I was pleased with what I saw. You can write a lot of those turnovers off to a team that's not really familiar with each other yet. A lot of youthful indiscretions there. And, last thing I want to say is I have a big Isaiah Stewart fan. I have been since he was a rookie. This is always the power forward spot has always been the role that I have envisioned for him, even though I'm probably the only one on Pistons Twitter that thinks that. But good. Chubbs agrees with me. Other person, thank you. I'm glad you exist. he was awesome last night. Hit his first 2 3-pointers, went 2 for 3 on the night, had a monster double-double, 14 and 14. Locked it down defensively. He showed that he did have the range to go out and challenge shooters on the perimeter. I thought he looked fantastic. It's only 1 game. If he looked terrible last night, I would say the same thing. It's only 1 game, but I was really, really encouraged. I was happy he got off on the right foot because this is a huge season for him. He's got to prove that he is a starting caliber power forward.
Not just hitting a 3. The second one is a pump fake sidestep 3.
Yep.
That was just like... Where did that come from? Holy crap. I loved everything about that game except for I don't understand why Killian Hayes is in the starting lineup. I think he had a really bad night. And I just don't get – the experiment has to be over with. It's just really nice.
He had a terrible 3 quarters. I thought in the fourth quarter he was pretty good. The 0-for-6 from 3 is going to stand out from everybody. You can't deny in the fourth quarter, he was doing a credible job guarding both Tyler Hero and Jimmy Butler at times.
I would give him that.
Take that away from him. I'm in agreement with you. I would not have started him either. But being that they've gone this route, you have to give it at least a few weeks before, you know, deciding if it works or not.
Yeah, that's fair. The only other thing, I guess it's a stupid complaint, but it's like, everybody in the world knows that Cade Cunningham's getting that ball. Yeah. And Miami just, they doubled him immediately. He didn't even get the shot off in time. And I'm just thinking that Alec Burks is kind of wide open, like in the paint. Like,
not wide open, but he was open enough where he could have gotten a shot off.
Right.
Like Hero, whoever was marking him in the corner, he would have done a hard closeout. But no, Burks still would have gotten a shot off. Cade did not. Even if that shot went in, Cade would have not counted.
Right. Chubbs, you got any thoughts on last night?
Yeah, I do. I was going to talk about Isaiah Stewart because you know how everybody will push Isaiah to the bench, push him to the bench, and
backup big man. Yeah, I know.
I was kind of glad he showed out. So, you said enough for that, and. Like you said, Killian did play great defense in the fourth quarter, which is why I think he is out there to guard the opponent's best, you know, perimeter player out there to take the load off of Cade. But my biggest gripe from the game last night, I think we win if Cade goes to the line just one time. Just one time.
To be fair, Cade kind of does like to avoid contact. He's kind of like a finesse type. But look, he was hit on the arm on at least one shot. I think Hero hit him on the arm on a contest on like a mid-ranger. Like he clearly got smacked on the arm in the fourth quarter on one of his mid-range shots. Like it's not like he didn't get fouled. He did. It's just I don't know why referees just will not give this man a call.
It's crazy. But they play solid defense late, which is – what I wanted to see from them, you know, yeah. Against the Eastern Conference, you know what I'm saying? Champions. So it was good to see that. Like you said, Burks was wide open. Actually, I thought Killian could have skipped it to him, but Cade was having the game he had, so I understand why they went to him. But overall, it was a good first game. I saw a lot that I liked, a couple things we didn't like, but like you said, first game.
Yeah, that's really the only thing I'm really like, Cade is him, you know, he's him. I'm sold on him. The only thing I want from him is I just want that one clutch shot because I haven't seen it yet, and it didn't happen during his rookie year really. And in the short period of time we had him last year, it didn't happen. And it wasn't able to happen last night. I won't put that on him. He was doubled immediately and pushed back to half court essentially. Mm-hmm. But I want to see that one clutch shot to where it's like, okay, he's the guy, you can always rely on him, never have to worry about anything. But that's it.
Look, I think it says something about Kate Cunningham. He had 30 points, 9 assists, and he was like the last thing any of us talked about because we expect that from Kate Cunningham. It wasn't like it's what we expect. We're just glad to see him healthy. But you know, like when he's healthy, I think everybody that saw him this first 2 years expects him to go for 30 in a game like this where the team needs him to take over. I will be in the stands tomorrow night in Charlotte. That's where I live. So I will get to see the Pistons live before people in Detroit do, which I think is kind of funny. The Hornets are a step down in weight class from the Miami Heat. I don't need to see them turning the ball over 9 times in the fourth quarter in Charlotte. I will be a lot less forgiving. I hope they win. I think that they're a better team than the Hornets. But look, we'll see.
Pretty sure K will see less double teams as well versus Charlotte because Miami seems to double K every time they play him.
You're right.
That's what I'm starting to notice. Like, and for him to get 30 still was impressive to me. So, like you said, I hope they go down to Charlotte and handle business.
Their only trip of the year to Charlotte.
Okay.
All right. Well,
main event time.
Who's ready to do some drafting? Let's get right to it, and we'll start it off here. Keith, what kind of news and notes you got on this one?
Just one. This is the youngest draft class ever. Out of the top 11 picks, 10 of them were one and dones, and the only guy that wasn't one and done was an 18-year-old Frenchman who actually brought the age lower. He actually brought the average age down of the top 11 picks. You didn't have a college senior drafted until the 29th pick of the draft, and only 13 college seniors got selected total out of 60 players. This is one of the great we're really not sure what we have type drafts. A lot of good players came out of this, but I don't think that anyone had a good grasp on who was the really good one and who wasn't.
Yeah. Who's the young one? Is that Fultz? The youngest one?
I think the youngest player was actually, I don't think it was Fultz. I think it was until Keenan because he was only 18. I'm not sure how many other 18-year-olds there were in the, I think it was mostly 19-year-olds.
I think it's fine.
I am not 100% sure. So anyone wants to look that up and fact check me, be my guest. All right. So starting things off, I will make the boring pick because I think to me, at least, I think this is a no-brainer. Yeah. The Philadelphia 76ers traded up. Boston originally had the number one pick. The Sixers now have it. They didn't give up a whole. They just gave up a future first for a 1-3 pick swap. It wasn't like that egregious, but in retrospect, they definitely should have picked somebody different. And I'm going to tell you right now, that's is Jason Tatum. You put Jason Tatum on a team with Joel Embiid, Ben Simmons. I mean, the good Ben Simmons. You've got Tobias Harris. You're going to get Jimmy Butler at some point. Man, that's almost a super team. I don't care if Jason Tatum is super young. He's going to take a while to develop. Four-time All-Star, three-time All-NBA. These days, he's averaging 30 points a game. There's not much you can say about it other than I think he is the best player in this draft class. And look, I want to say one thing, and I've said this before, but Danny Ainge deserves a hell of a lot of credit for taking Jason Tatum. And Jason Tatum, if you remember, he was not the best player on his own college team. Luke Kennard was. Tatum was younger. He was obviously had the build and the NBA potential. Everyone knew that. But Luke Kennard was the best player on Duke that season. It was not Jason Tatum. So for Danny Ainge to trade down and take Tatum third, when a lot of people didn't even have him going in the top three, back-to-back picks with Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum, two guys that neither guy was seen as like a franchise type guy. And they're like the best wing tandem of their generation. So I don't think Ainge is the greatest GM of all time. He's had some faults, but I think he deserves credit for both of these draft picks.
I think you got to start putting Danny Ainge up in that conversation. The Celtics are constantly a competitive team since he's taken over the reins there. There's something to that.
Well, I mean, he's not there anymore, but yeah.
They were. You know what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now I look stupid.
Okay, so up next, the Los Angeles Lakers are picking second. They are represented by my co-host, Mike Payton. Setting the stage for the Lakers, they're still like a clown show at this point. LeBron isn't there quite yet. They've got some interesting pieces. Ingram, most of all. Who do you have? Look, whoever gets picked here is probably going to go for Anthony Davis in a couple of years. But let's see who you got for us.
Yeah, that's the problem with this, because you know I'm looking at the roster right now. There's Lonzo Ball, he's gone. Alex Caruso, gone. Jordan Clarkson, gone. KCP, gone. Brandon Ingram, gone. Kyle Kuzma, gone. Gary Payton, gone. Larry Nance, gone. Julius Randle, gone.
They're all still in the league, though. That's the. I mean, they're all good players. They just
right.
They let some of them go to make room to sign, you know, more expensive players, and some of them got traded for Anthony Davis. A lot of them did.
They also had Brooke Lopez. They had Zubac.
Wow.
I mean, this team, Josh Hart. Like, this team had a lot of
Brooke
players.
Brooke Lopez. Now, I will give them crap over Brooke Lopez. He was criminally unused. Like, the way they used Brooke Lopez in 2018, like a player that was out of the league, like he was ready, like he had nothing left. And he immediately goes to Milwaukee and turns into like an all-star. That was bad.
Well, I think the only thing you could do is pick a player here and hope that LeBron likes him. And
that's all you can ever do.
That's really all you can do. And I think the best player a guy that I think LeBron would like is going to be De'Aaron Fox, because he's clearly the best point guard in this entire draft. They originally took a point guard with Lonzo Ball, but De'Aaron's a guy who could score, but he can also facilitate. And LeBron's going to like that, because it's almost like having Kyrie Irving with a better head on his shoulders. You know, I mean, Kyrie is probably when Kyrie is on, he's clearly a better player than De'Aaron, I think, or was. But I think De'Aaron look what he's doing with the Kings. He's one of the huge reasons why that team has been turned around. And I think that, him and LeBron would be scary. And if they could also include Anthony Davis, a good Anthony Davis, not whatever Anthony Davis is now, then they'd be, dominant. They'd win before the bubble.
Yeah, Fox and Lonzo were kind of like inseparable for a little while, because they had that little rivalry going into college, even when I think Fox was at Kentucky and Lonzo was at UCLA. So they were clearly the two best point guard prospects. So they were always going to be compared to each other I think it's kind of sad to see how Lonzo Ball has kind of fallen off.
Yeah.
But it not through any fault of his own. He just guy poor guy just can't stay healthy. But whereas De'Aaron Fox has kind of he's been good from since almost the beginning, but like since he was stuck in Sacramento and on a team that wasn't winning that had been bad forever. It's like last year people just discovered De'Aaron Fox existed. Like, oh, hey, this guy's really good.
But yeah, I don't know if I would have picked him second, but that's no, there's nothing against De'Aaron Fox. I think he's a terrific fit for where you put him.
Kind of glad Mike picked Fox second.
I'm sure you are.
All right, so setting the stage for our guest picker. The Celtics, as I said 2 picks ago, traded back from 1 to 3. They've got a good young team already. They've also got Isaiah Thomas, the Celtics, Isaiah Thomas, IT2. They've got a young Jaylen Brown already in the mix.
Chubbs, who you got for us with your first selection in our 2017 redraft?
Well, my first selection for the Boston Celtics, I'm going to take Bam Adebayo.
Really?
Yes.
Okay.
I'm going to take him. I'm going to plug him in. I believe this is when they had Al Horford still. Jaylen Brown was coming in. They had Gordon Hayward, right? Marcus Smart. I believe adding his defense to that team will make them probably much better. They had Marcus Morris, right, that year. And when he was still decent, a decent player. So I feel like that's the year when they was trying Aaron Baines and Tice out there with Al Horford. So I think getting them Bam Adebayo makes that team much better at that time. And that's when they got ready to trade Kyrie Irving for Isaiah Thomas. So I feel like if Kyrie coming in with that team, with Bam Adebayo over there, and they had a chance to go to the finals when Kyrie got hurt, much better team. Much better team. Young, athletic. You got Horford at the 4, spread the floor with everybody. I like Bam Adebayo with my pick.
Yeah, Bam Adebayo, one of those guys, didn't really show out at Kentucky because they always have a bunch of NBA prospects every year. I mean, he was there, but he was more like almost like how Jalen Duren was at Memphis, where this guy's obviously an NBA player, but he just didn't really look good his first year in college. But yeah, Bam, credit to Miami, took him and developed him. And yeah, how he fits on the Celtics. Yeah, I agree with you 100%. You put him and Al Horford, that's like the best mentorship, veteran to rookie. Look, I'm not going to say anything about a Time Lord. Like he was awesome for Boston for a long time, but like he was more like a shot blocker and a lob threat. Like Bam is capable of more than that. He can get you 20 points any given night, and he's an all defensive type guy. I don't know if anyone ever saw him being that type of offensive threat when he was drafted, which is probably why he fell so low. All right. Coming back around, the Phoenix Suns, they've got Devin Booker, but make no mistake, they're still at rock bottom. They are on their way to having one of their worst seasons. To me, I see a very obvious pick here. It's the number two player on my board is Donovan Mitchell. And Donovan Mitchell, how many teams are kicking themselves for not drafting this guy?
I know one.
Pistons fans, we can all agree.
But look,
I will say to my dying day, you got to look at it in context. At Louisville, he was an off-ball two guard. He was like a 3-and-D type guy. They very rarely let him handle the ball and create. No one knew he had that kind of shot creation ability in him. Everyone knew he was a great athlete. They knew he could shoot a little bit. They thought he was a better defender in college than he's actually turned out to be. But no one knew that he had that kind of like Dwayne Wade-ish, like freakish athleticism, first step explosiveness that's allowed him to be, a perennial 25 to 30 point guy in the league, a guy that scored 71 points in a game last year. The
playoffs have kind of been a different story for him, but he's always been expected to be the best player in his team.
I think if you put him on the Phoenix Suns with Devin Booker, who I think is a better player, honestly, than Donovan Mitchell, I think that takes some of the pressure off of him. to be that guy that carries the team, because he can be that, but I think to win a championship, I think he's a number two guy.
And put him on the Phoenix Suns. Have that Booker Donovan Mitchell combo for the next 10 years. I'm excited about that. I think that's going to be really, really good for them. And they can still draft DeAndre Ayton next year and screw it up. But hey, all right. The number five pick in this draft belongs to the Sacramento Kings. They're still in purgatory, but they're going to slowly get out of it. But they're still pretty bad right now. Mike, who you got for us?
The Kings, they're like this. I'm looking at the roster, and you see, like, just looking at the experience section, you see 3 years, 2 years, 1 year, yeah. 19 years, 16 years, and then it's 2 years, 1 year. It's Zach Randolph and Vince Carter are both holding down roster spots on this team.
Zach Randolph is on this team. I totally forgot.
Yeah. Wow. In 2018, Zach Randolph is still playing basketball.
Vince Carter in 2018, and he's going to play two more years.
Well, yeah, I was going to say, we knew that with Vince, yeah. This was following the Boogie Cousins trade where they got Buddy Hield and stuff, and Buddy Hield was made them regret it. So
I wish Vince would have had a better, COVID kind of just pushed him out, and that sucked, but I think the easy pick here is this team. Really, you could throw anybody at it. They don't have any power forward help outside of Zach Randolph and Jack Cooley and Skal Labith. God, I don't know this guy's name.
Scala BCR, is that who you're trying to pronounce?
Yeah, yep, that's the one.
All right, Kentucky, yeah.
Yeah.
So I'm going to send who I think the next best player, at least on my board, is Lauri Markkanen to this team.
Okay.
And yep. Markkanen is a guy who, like, has always been pretty decent, but is really coming into his own now in Utah. Just needed to find the right place. And I think Sacramento, while, at the time you think of Sacramento as like this hellhole, but now obviously we know what it is. It's a team that's on the rise. And I think that he could be a big part of that rise, just like De'Aaron Fox has been. So now that you don't have Fox, you put in Markkanen. I think you still have a guy that you could build around there.
Yeah, I'm about to talk favorably about Danny Ainge again, and I may throw up by the end of this episode. Lauri Markkanen was like a late riser prior to this draft, because he was super young out of Arizona. He was kind of just a stretch forward, not much else. And then he goes to Chicago in the Butler trade. Doesn't really do a whole lot in Chicago, but he's okay, like you said. And he goes to Cleveland. They pretty much just let him go to Cleveland, and he's okay in Cleveland. He actually starts at the three for most of the season at 7 feet tall, and he's okay. But then Donovan Mitchell demands a trade that offseason, and Ainge gets Lauri Markkanen in a haul of draft picks in exchange.
And, like, Lauri Markkanen is not as good as Donovan Mitchell, but the way he played in Utah, not that far off. He was a legit all-star, averaging 25 points a game. Runaway winner for most improved player. I don't know what Danny Ainge – I don't even know if Danny Ainge knew what he was getting, to be honest, because it was clear the Jazz were tanking, and Lauri Markkanen made it very hard for them to tank because he was that good. Every year I enjoy watching Lauri Markkanen play. He is just such a unique player at his size, with his ability, his mobility, his ability to shoot. He's a lights out shooter. I wish the Pistons had him, but sadly, they do not. All right. So sixth pick, the Orlando Magic. I'm trying to picture their roster right now. I don't think it's a very good one.
No, they have Vucevic, Aaron Gordon, DJ Augustin, Aaron Aflalo is still over there, Elfrid Payton, Terrence Ross, Mario Hezonja, Bismack. Those were some of the key guys that they had that year.
Gotcha. Okay, so actually, I mean, Vuce is pretty good, but other than that, yeah, this is a bad team. All right, so
Shubbs, you got anyone in mind?
Yeah, they had to Isaac, but I'm going to go a different route, and I'm going to take point guard from UCLA, Lonzo Ball.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, I kind of like Lonzo going out there. You got high flyer, young Aaron Gordon. You got vets as DJ Augustine to back him up. You got a young Vooch out there who is, like you said, their best player at the time. They were still trying to figure themselves out, and this was a time when they always been trying to find a point guard every year, I guess, since Penny left. So
yeah.
They had got Elfrid Payton over there, but I guess getting Lonzo Ball is a more upgrade to me for a team that looked like they can get out and run more. So I figured I'd take Lonzo Ball with that pick. And he's a long player to go with the length of everybody that they had over there. So I like the defense to be decent over there too. Like I said, they still got Aaron Aflalo. So I'm going now, Lonzo.
Because he was really, really good until he started getting hurt. Do you worry about the injuries long term? Because I was thinking Lonzo might be better for like a team that is ready to compete.
I worry about him a little bit, but at this time right now, Orlando's still trying to figure themselves out. They don't even know what they're doing. That's right. They drafted a player who hasn't played really, so it's basically the same situation all over again. So, but I'm gonna go Alonzo.
Yeah, Alonzo was probably the most hyped player in this whole draft class, if not because of his dad. But realistically, he was like playing in a big school at UCLA. They were on TV all the time, and he was the star of that team. They were scoring a bunch of points every game. He goes to the Lakers and kind of, I don't want to say he disappoints, but you know, the lack of shooting. It was obvious to everybody, and he kind of got the same label that Killian Hayes gets with us now, where he's just a passer that doesn't shoot. But you know, he's worked his way in, credit to him, to becoming a credible knockdown shooter, and he's always been a really, really good defender and a really good passer.
So I
do hope his career is not over. I hope next season he's able to finally put this behind him and continue his career, kind of like how Grant Hill did. If it's not the same guy, I'd like to see him keep playing because I think he's a good player.
All right. Speaking of the Bulls, they acquired this pick in the Jimmy Butler trade from the Timberwolves. Let's see. They don't have Vooch at this point. I think they had just let go of Dwayne Wade. Let me take a peek at their roster real quick because it is not good. That's the only thing I remember. The Bulls were terrible at this point. Yeah, so they traded Butler for – they got Zach LaVine, obviously. Let's see. You know what? I think this is an easy one. Chicago Bulls pick Jared Allen. And, yeah. I'm making this selection as easy. This is easy for me if only for one reason.
Four or five years down the road, they don't lose their minds and trade Wendell Carter Jr. and two first-round picks to get Nick Vucevic at the end of his prime. That was one of the worst trades probably in the last 5 or 6 years. That absolutely screwed them out of a player like Franz Wagner and Wendell Carter Jr., who they already had and somehow they thought was expendable.
Jared Allen, a guy that no one really thought the world of. He just kind of hangs around in Brooklyn for a little while. And he, you know, credit to the Cavs, they just absorb him essentially as like a salary dump in the big James Harden, Victor Oladipo, like 3 or 4 way trade. Like they just needed a place to dump Jared Allen's contract. And the Cavs took him and gave him the opportunity to start and be the guy. And he turned himself into an all-star. Like he's never going to lead a team to a championship, but
I think that's a hell of a selection to get him at the 7th pick, a two-way center, a guy that'll rebound, a guy that'll finish really well around the rim. I like Jared Allen, even though he kind of disappeared in the playoffs and he became a meme at the end of last season.
All right, I'm up again with the
you are.
The New York Knicks. And basically, I'm just I don't know. I could go about this two ways. I could actually pick him a good player, or I could pick somebody that's going to piss Stephen A. Smith off.
Piss Stephen A. Smith off.
Yeah, but yeah. Maybe I'll just piss Stephen A. Smith off.
What doesn't piss him off?
I don't know. You know, I don't particularly enjoy that the man goes on TV and he makes the Detroit Lions his number one team and then has the nerve to call them fraudulent two days later. Like, after one loss. Like, come on, man. I mean, I know it was a really bad loss.
I said that in the first quarter of the Ravens game. The first quarter, I said, everybody that put the Lions number one this week is doing so they can lose to the Ravens, which is an excusable loss, and then they can tear them down the next week. Like they didn't do, like they didn't say the opposite thing the week before.
Yeah, it's. I mean, it's just, you know, it's TV, it's ratings, it's whatever.
It's cheap.
It's cheap. It's incredibly cheap.
Yeah.
But then again, if they would have won that game, geez, the response would have been incredible. Just,
crazy.
So I am going to take a player that is going to both be really good for the Knicks and initially piss Stephen A. Smith off. I'm going to take from Indiana, OG Anunoby. And I think it's going to initially piss Stephen A. Smith off because I don't think he has any idea who OG Anunoby is, or at least he didn't at the time.
Played in Indiana. That's a blue blood program.
I know, but I don't think this is a guy that went 23rd overall. I don't think anybody had their eye on Anunoby being a guy that was going to become what he's become, you know, one of the best defenders in the league and a pretty good scorer too. And this Knicks team, I mean, they have nobody other than Kristaps Porzingis, who they're going to move on from soon. Other than that, it's just a bunch of, you know, guys. It's a bunch of guys that you've heard of, essentially. Tim Hardaway Jr., I guess, would be the second best player on this team. So I think before you go and you get Julius Randle and you start, you know, building this team up in a different way, I think this is a really good start to make them a defensive team. And it kind of goes back to kind of some old school Knicks feelings, you know, that late blood on the court Knicks that
blood in the garden,
blood on the court, blood in the garden, blood on the court. It's all the same thing. The court is in the garden. And so there you go. And I think that defensively, like, the Knicks fans would love this guy. They would absolutely love him after they get over the fact that they don't really know who he is. And he only scores like 5 points a game in his first season. But yeah, he's definitely a player worth having.
Yeah, but I'll tell you what he does have. He has a ring, which only a couple of guys in this draft class actually have at this point. Yep. Played a pretty decent, like, he was a rotation player in that 19 Raptors team early. I think he got hurt. I think that's why he missed the playoffs. But yeah, OG at Indiana was offensively, I think that's why he dropped in the draft, because no one thought he'd be able to develop skills for that. But yeah, always was a great athlete, great motor, fantastic defender. And more importantly, I think not only Knicks fans are going to love this guy, I think Tibbs is going to love this guy. Josh Hart, they won't even be thinking about trading for Josh Hart, because I think OG is like the perfect guy to play for Tibbs. He would fall in love with him immediately.
Just hope you don't run him to death.
Yeah, Tibbs has it. Tibbs has that potential, and OG is kind of injury prone. All right. Completing one more circle, we have the Dallas Mavericks up at 9. And Chubbs has an interesting dilemma here. You want to make the Mavs better, but not too much better that they don't miss out on Luka Doncic next year. But that shouldn't be too much of a problem for you, because their roster is not good, and there's really no one on the board that's going to make them great. So yeah, you've got 40-year-old Dirk Nowitzki, Dwight Powell, he's still around.
Devin Harris,
Wes Matthews coming off of the Achilles tear.
Eric Barnes.
Maxie. Dorian Finney-Smith, Devin Harris. You can really pick anyone you want here at this point. JJ, how is JJ Barea still on Dallas in 2018?
Yeah, I was just about to say his name. I was just about to say JJ still is on there. Maxie Kleber was there, I believe, that year.
He was, but yeah. Oh, that's right. You're right. He was.
And
When I got this pick, I was looking over it, like, man, seeing who's already might be taken off the board. Like, I'm not sure, but I'm going to just take the best player at this time. Well, I'm going to take Kyle Kuzma.
Best player on my board as well.
I'm going to take Kyle Kuzma because at the time he's a rookie. So, like you said, they won't be that good drafting him. So, they'll still be able to get Luka, and hopefully – that next year, when he did come along, he'd be coming along right with Luka, Dirk on his way out, and that, another good mentor for him, a better mentor than what probably he had in L.A. So he might form into a different type of player with hopefully the same killer instinct that he has. So I like my pick with Kyle Kuzma. And then they don't lose some of that height and defense when they trade everybody away to get Kyrie Irving. So
right. Yeah, I see this going two ways because Kuzma's the highest rated player left on my board by far. Nothing wrong with there. He's best player available. He is not a great spot up shooter. And that's kind of like Luka's thing. He's always played with guys that catch and shoot threes and space the floor for him. That's the one thing that Kuzma really doesn't do well. But at the same time, I think Luka's always lacked that second guy. They've been trying to find that guy forever, that second guy that can actually make plays when Luka's not having a good game or he's not in the game. So you still need Kuzma for that. And Kuzma, I think, has developed really – like, he really wasn't on anyone's radar in the draft coming out of Utah by way of Flint, Michigan. And he just – I think the only reason people noticed him is because he played well for the Lakers. And he got that extra media boost. And by the time the finals came around in the bubble, he was almost overrated because everyone was talking about Kyle Kuzma. Like, he went from being a nobody to being underrated to being overrated. And then he got banished back to Washington. And now he's underrated again because he's actually gotten better since he got traded to Washington. But, yeah, look, I think if the Dallas Mavericks take Kyle Kuzma – I think he's still in Dallas, to be honest with you, because I think they need a player with his talent unless he just wants to leave on his own.
All right. So the 10th pick in the draft, and this changed hands a couple of times. This was originally the Pelicans. They sent it to the Kings in the Boogie Cousins deal, and the Kings flipped it to the Blazers for the let's see. Who did they trade? It was for the 20 pick. I think, it was for Trey Lyles and the 20th pick in the draft, which turned out, this was an absolute just steal. So anyway, Portland's up. Number 10 pick. They could really use a front court player, but all the best players left are guards, at least to me. Well, there's one guy, and I don't really like his fit with Dame. So I am just going to take the I'm going to make the practical pick. I'm going to take best player on my board, and that's Derek White.
Derek White's numbers are never going to wow you. He's never going to be a guy that's going to make an all-star team. But I'll tell you what, every team he's ever been on, has been really good, and there's a reason for that. And he's started for most of them, and there's a reason for that too. He's still starting today on arguably, the best starting five in basketball, in my opinion.
Two-way player.
He can score. He can play off the ball, on the ball. And
to top that off, he's an all-defensive team selection. The volume stats are probably going to – You might have a problem looking at his stat lines every night, but I assure you he is one of the top 10 or 11 players in this draft class. And how does he fit with the Blazers? I think he's not going to start over Dame. He might
make CJ McCollum expendable a little bit earlier when they see him go out and actually guard people, which neither CJ or Dame ever did, really.
Okay. Up next,
number 11, the Charlotte Hornets.
The Hornets were kind of in a renaissance. They're near the end of the Kemba Walker era. They're they're going to take a bit of a tumble here.
Mike, who you got for us?
Michael Kidd Gilchrist is still on this team. I just weird to me that that's they're still holding on to that at this point. The team is known for holding on to guys. Yeah, this team is about to, like you said, Kemba Walker is going to be gone. We're not quite to the ball era yet, and we really don't even know what the ball era is at this point. I mean, this team is still not like any good, I guess. Yeah. And then Miles,
he's kind of like Jason Williams on the Memphis Grizzlies.
Miles,
that's how I see it. He's like Jason Williams on the 2000s Memphis Grizzlies, where he's doing fun stuff and they're losing by 20 points. I'm sorry, go on.
Well, then I was just saying, then Miles Bridges, you know, just can't be a good human being. So that you got that as well. And
he's still suspended for now.
Yeah, but he just got arrested again for the same thing.
Yeah, let's not talk about Miles Bridges.
Because then I'll just be yelling about him for the next hour.
Yeah.
I hate that. That's the thing I hate the most. Anyways. All right. So I'm just going to, I mean, really, you can just pick anybody. And
yeah.
I think the best player left on, at least, it should be the best player left on all of our boards is John Collins. And I think it's kind of weird that he's lasted this long, but I think you go with John Collins here, and then, you know, you get Ball later, and maybe you have something there with that. I mean, this team needs a lot of help, man. They need a lot of players. This isn't good. This isn't going to solve anything right away, but this will definitely be a good start.
Yeah, John Collins, the most talented player probably left on the board.
It's been no secret that I'm not a John Collins fan. He wasn't on mine either. He puts up points, but he doesn't play terrific defense. He kind of pouts a little bit. He's not a very good pick and pop player, even though he can shoot. He's just, for whatever reason, not great at shooting off the catch. He was actually the worst, the least efficient pick and pop big man in the league last season for volume shooters. But look, that was a blip. I mean, usually his career numbers are
a little better than that. But yeah, all that aside,
you can't deny, like, he's a 6'10", super athletic big man, can score around the rim. I just wish he would refine his game a little bit and not try to be more than
what he actually is. All right, so moment of truth time. Our guest, this is the pick that he signed up for. This is the one he's been waiting 2 or 3 months to make. setting the stage, the Detroit Pistons coming off a very disappointing 2017 season. We've still got Andre Drummond at this point. We've still got Tobias Harris, though we know he's on his way out. We've still got, let's see, I believe we still have Marcus Morris at this point, right?
Reggie.
No, that's right. He gets traded for Avery Bradley. I take that back. So we got Avery Bradley, or at least what's left of him. Langston Galloway and all his fun shoes are still on the team. We've got Boban, my wife's favorite basketball player of all time.
Bullock on this team?
Yep, Bullock.
Yeah, Reggie Bullock. Doesn't he get traded at the deadline, or was that the following season?
I think that's the following season.
The following.
More importantly, we have Anthony Tolliver, fan favorite Anthony Tolliver is here.
All right, so looking this over and knowing that they are two or three bad months away from hitting the panic button and trading for Blake Griffin.
Chubbs, you have the opportunity. It's going to be difficult, but you have the opportunity to change the course of Pistons history with this number 11 pick.
Hold on a quick second. please don't pick Dylan Brooks. That's all I ask.
Oh, no, I'm not.
I wouldn't hate Dylan Brooks, but no, I wouldn't pick him either.
I thought about it, but I'm not going to pick them. It was tough seeing like how everything was going to pan out. No one was going to trade Blake, and looking at the players left on my board, I thought about Josh Hart. I love Josh Hart, the way he plays sometimes. Then I thought about bringing Luke Kennard back. Might as well, one of the best shooters in the draft. But I'm actually going to draft the guy I wanted them to draft at this time. He's actually showing out in Sacramento right now. I'm going to draft Malik Monk for the Detroit. Give us something exciting when Blake Griffin comes over as well. Explosive guard. I think he get a better start off here in Detroit rather than in Charlotte. So, and like I said, the way he's playing now, he's showing out in Sacramento in that under Mike Brown system on both ends of the floor. He's a streaky shooter. I give him that. But it's coming along better. Very athletic. So I'm going to take Malik Monk.
Yeah, it always annoyed me once Donovan Mitchell started showing out in Utah that everyone pointed every time Luke Kennard had a bad game. And it always annoyed me that Malik Monk got picked one spot ahead of Luke Kennard and he was playing much worse. Like people forget he was terrible in Charlotte. All right, maybe that's too strong. But yeah, he was not good. The only thing that he did, I remember, is that bullcrap line drive three-pointer that he hit to beat the Pistons, I want to say 3 or 4 years ago, where it was like that ball got about 11 feet in the air and it just went straight through the basket. It was just like desperation heave and it went in. And that's like the only good thing I remember Malik Monk doing in Charlotte.
Only thing I remember really is him getting smacked by Michael Jordan on the sideline.
He had such a bad experience in Charlotte, and he goes to LA and he's almost immediately better just because they have a better situation. But yeah, I don't hate this pick at all. I do worry because he did struggle. It took him a couple of years to find himself in the league. I don't know if Pistons fans would have that type of patience with him, because Charlotte fans definitely didn't. But yeah, He was getting a lot of six man of the year votes this past season for a very good team. So yeah, he's found that six man role fit suits him really well. He's found a really, really good home in Sacramento.
And yeah, if the Pistons could wade through like those first one or two tough years, yeah, they'd have a really, really nice player right now. All right, guys. One last, trip around the block. This was originally Denver's pick. They traded it to Utah. So the Utah Jazz are on the board. And I'm not going to give this one a second thought. I'm going to take Luke Kennard.
Luke Kennard. Yeah, Luke Kennard going to Utah. The jokes write themselves. But look, I think he's a terrific fit for Utah. Other than the memes, he's legitimately the best three-point shooter in this entire draft class. And I don't even think it's debatable. Very, very, very efficient player. The only reason he doesn't get more minutes than he does is because he struggles so much defensively, which everybody worried about coming into the league. But I think he's a terrific shooter. He's also a terrific passer, which people don't realize because he's only in the game to shoot the ball.
Good pass.
Yeah, I think he would do. He obviously he's not going to turn them around like Donovan Mitchell did, but I think he's a really nice piece for them to have long term. They'll just have to find their own Donovan Mitchell somehow.
Wasn't Luke Kennard like a quarterback too? I mean, recruited by like Michigan or something, I heard. Yep.
Well, I don't know if it was, but I know he played. Yeah, he was in Ohio. I know he played football. I don't know if he was a big recruit though.
Oh, okay. Well, I know that's why I'm like, every time I hear a good pass, I'm like, well, this dude was a quarterback. So I liked his pass when he was here as well. It was very underrated of his game.
All right. So number 14 belongs to the Miami Heat. And setting the stage for this, they are only a couple of ways for, or only a couple of years away from making the finals, but you would not know it at this point. Let's see, what does their roster look like? They're actually not that bad, but they're kind of stuck in mediocreville. Udonis Haslam is, yeah, he's going to be around for another 6 years, stealing money. Kelly Olynyk, Josh Richardson, Dwayne Wade, they brought Dwayne home so he could retire. Hassan Whiteside is still productive at this point. Man, how did this team win 44 games? Spoelstra should have won Coach of the Year. Okay, so having set the table for my co-host, Mike Payton, who is representing the Miami Heat, who do you got for us?
Oh, man, this is hard. Because we're kind of in this range where it's like, none of these guys have really shown much quite yet.
Yeah.
I just don't want to take Dylan Brooks.
Well, I think you've got a Heat culture guy like right there.
With Dylan Brooks?
I said you have a Heat culture guy right there if you want it.
And you think Dylan Brooks is that guy?
I try not to interfere with other people's picks. All I said was that you have a Heat culture guy right there if you really want him.
All right, just give me a second here. Let me just collect myself.
I think Chubbs knows what I'm talking about too.
Yeah, I think I got an idea who you're talking about.
I think I kind of know who I want to take, but.
You don't have to listen to me. I'm just
saying. I'm not listening to you. I refuse to listen to you. You're wrong. It's not. I'm going to go with Monte Morris.
Okay.
With this pick. Detroit Pistons point guard, Monte Morris.
Flint represent. Another Flint player goes off the board.
Flint stand up.
In the lottery.
You know, decent point guard. Get you 12 points a game. You know, that's. And this team really just doesn't really have a point guard at this point. So that is why I'm going with it. I mean, they have Goran Dragic, but that's not going to last much longer. And there's Derek Walton as well. And what's your favorite Derek Walton game, Keith?
God, there's so – look, literally the entire second half of his senior season was just – he was the best Michigan point guard I've ever seen in my life. He was like better than Jalen Rose for the second half of his senior season. And he was that good.
That's enough Michigan talk for one podcast.
You asked me a question.
Yeah, well, I wanted you to say, you know, he wasn't as good as like Mateen Cleaves or something like that. Yeah, Monte Morris is who I'm going to go with. And I mean, I'm only half sure about it, but I'm still waiting to see what I'm really excited to see what he can do for the Pistons this year.
Yeah. Piston fans, I promise you, Monte Morris is a real person that exists. You will see him at some point. He just has to get healthy.
Okay. So our final pick, this is via Portland from the earlier trade. The Sacramento Kings are back on the board. Who did we pick already at number five for the Kings?
Lauri Markkanen, yep.
Okay, so they've got Lauri Markkanen at this point, so take that into account. But with the final pick of our night belongs to our guest host, Chubbs, who has been awesome this entire time. I do not regret for a second having you on. You've been really good here. Take us home.
Well, guess what my final pick? I'm going to take the guy that... Mike didn't want to take. I'm going to draft Dylan Brooks. and Adam.
Okay.
Sacramento Hall. Give him a little.
That's not who I was saying, by the way. That's not who I was referencing.
You talking about for the Heat culture?
Yeah. Because Dylan Brooks is not Heat culture. He's kind of a nut.
I think you were thinking Josh Hart.
Okay. No, you are right about that.
Okay, yeah, that's what I was thinking. But for this Sacramento team, I'm gonna give him Dylan Brooks. I know his attitude's a little shaky every now and then, but he had a spurt where he was actually a decent player, especially those Warriors series. He was giving him a little hell. I'll give him that. Like, he was a pest. And at the same time, he did hit some big shots for them. If he could stay along that line and be that type of player, maybe he's – his attitude isn't what it become. Yeah. So I'm gonna go with Dylan Brooks because he was one of the last players left on my big board. Him, Hart, and Volpe. So I'm gonna go with Dylan Brooks.
I might have taken him, and I might have thought, well, maybe he's like on a right track after what, you know, getting kicked out of Memphis essentially. But then he sack taps a dude in a preseason game, and it's like. Come on,
he got kicked out of his first preseason game.
A preseason game.
I forgot about that.
So clearly, we're not on the right track here.
Yeah, but
so bad.
Yeah, look, Chubbs is right. Like Dylan Brooks, we know he's a fantastic defender, even though he's one of the league leaders in fouls every single year. that does not deter him from defending you, which I think is actually a positive thing. I just wish he would shoot the ball less. Like, it's not that he's just a bad shooter, but he shoots the ball. Anytime he's open, the guy thinks he's Ray Allen. Like, if he would just, like, shoot the ball less, I would like him more, even if he shot the same percentage, because that would mean, you know, someone better, so a better shooter might get the ball. But, yeah, other than that, yeah, I have no issue with Dylan Brooks here. I think we can all agree that when he's on the court, we notice he's on the court. He is an entertaining player to watch. Even if he sometimes hurts his own team.
Well, that is gonna wrap up this draft. But before we get out of here, here's a few guys that didn't get drafted. The number one pick in this original draft, Markelle Fultz, doesn't get picked today. Former Piston Josh Jackson doesn't get picked, who was actually the fourth pick in this draft. Dennis Smith Jr., Thomas Bryant, Josh Hart, who I don't mess with because of what he did to the Pistons on Twitter. I'm just not cool with it. Frank Jackson, Jonathan Isaac, and I think that's really it. I mean, I can't really – Isaiah Hartenstein, maybe? Maybe is a name that you could mention?
I had him as a notable.
Yeah, he was on my board, pretty deep on the board, but he was on there.
Chris Boucher, who didn't go – he went undrafted, but
– yeah, Chris Boucher, I didn't think there was any chance he would go in the top 15, but he's at the very bottom of my board. But yeah, Josh Hart, I want to mention Josh Hart was actually 10th on my big board. He did not get drafted because I just thought Luke Kennard was a much better fit for Utah. But yeah, I'm kind of stunned that Josh Hart, because he's one of those quintessential glue guys that every team wants to have. But yeah, he just there wasn't a good spot for him in this draft, and I don't blame either of you guys for not drafting him either.
It's a good thing I did. It's a good. Oh, go ahead, Jeps.
I was just saying, I liked him till he said that. Then I have forgot about it till you just reminded me of that. So nah, I'm glad I didn't draft him too.
Yeah, we don't mess with Josh Hart anymore in Detroit after he just dogged the hell out of us, man, in front of the world. He didn't have to do that. but it's a good thing you guys didn't let me have the first pick, because I was gonna spite pick Luke Kennard just to piss everyone off, because I'm so tired of hearing people talk about how bad that kid was when he's actually really good. He's a great shooter. That was a good pick. That was the right pick to make in the moment. And I don't think that Stan Van Gundy should regret that one. I mean, obviously you wish that you had Donovan Mitchell, but you still made a pretty good pick.
Yeah, even in hindsight, he went 13th. That's not far off from being the 11th best player in the draft.
Right.
Am I wrong? But did Luke Kennard have a spurt where he was like one of our top leading scorers for a minute, where he was just finally broke out, where he was averaging at least 15 plus points per game, and it finally looked like we had something in him?
Yeah. One of Kawhi Leonard's last games as a Spur, Luke Kennard just lit him up. He was guarding Luke Kennard. Like, I remember that game vividly, and Luke was just beating him off of screens and stuff and beating him with fakes. I thought that was pretty hilarious, but I also thought that Kawhi Leonard looked kind of checked out. And I'm like, yeah, it did not surprise me at all. Like a week or two later when they shut him down and he's like, yeah, I'm done.
Well, that is going to do it for today's show. Chubbs, please take this time to share your social media if you'd like, and
yeah, please,
you know, and anything that you might be working on or want people to know about, charity, whatever it may be, just let us know.
First and foremost, I would like to thank both you guys. I appreciate this. This was a lot of fun. I've been looking forward to this ever since it was a go. So, again, appreciate that. If you listen to this, everybody check out the Bad Boys and Beyond podcast. It's real dope. The redraft, the hosts, even when I'm waiting on Joe Dumars part two. I'm waiting on part two.
It's coming.
Very soon.
We're saving it for the holidays.
Okay, cool. And for everybody, if you want to follow me on Twitter, it's Talk With Chubbs. That's Wit, WIT, Chubbs, CHUBBS. On Instagram, POEGB. I do music as well. I'm on all platforms as POEGB. Again, shout out my guy, Doc Joe Brown, with his Pistons and Pro Wrestling Twitter. Follow him as well. Pistons Twitter, Lions fans, it's our year.
Go blue. Shout out everybody in Detroit.
All right. Well, go green. And thanks. Well, it's just not the football team right now. I just can't. Not with Hitler on the screen and all this stuff. I just can't mess with Michigan
State. Already looked good last night. I'll tell you that. They looked good last night. Even though it was a Hillsdale school, if they play like that against anybody, they look scary. The way they was making knockdown threes, and they look scary.
I got big hopes, man. Big hopes as always. You know, I can't wait for March to come around. But again, thank you for listening this week. Thanks for joining us, Chubbs. Next week we will be back and we will be covering Dave Bing. And Keith probably is so excited because we're covering somebody that didn't play in the 80s. And I am going to have to spend the next week reading a lot so that I can try to keep up with him. So we will see you guys next week with Dave Bing.